Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It's 1:07 PM, that is Pacific Summer Time. Today is June 4th. And the euro today was up another cent, or just about. Not quite able to hold all of the gain, but this has been a dynamic move over the last 2 weeks. It has confirmed the breaking of the downtrend since the beginning of 2018. So something is definitely going on here. It's multifaceted. On the one hand, you have speculation that Europe is willing to do whatever is necessary to protect the integrity of the eurozone. So the ECB announced an additional $600 billion euros worth of support for the eurozone in here today. That was on top of the $750 billion already announced, and despite the fact that they haven't spent that much yet. But it does certainly send a message to the market that the ECB is willing to do whatever is necessary. On top of that, you have governments lining up to break the fiscal straitjacket, and that is actually much more important, that Europe is now willing to engage in fiscal stimulus to try and reinvigorate economic activity, because it has been absent for most of the last 8 years. That has contributed to deflationary forces, the rise of populism, and protest movements right across the continent. And finally, they have come to the realization that if they are going to achieve their goals, which long term is a federal state, then they're going to have to get in control of the populist movements, try and provide improving standards of living for more people, and on top of all of that, try and figure out how they can keep the monetary union together. And that is eventually going to require some form of transfer mechanism. Further on from that, probably some sort of fiscal cohesion as well. And of course, with fiscal cohesion comes taxation cohesion. There is plenty of enthusiasm for receiving money, but perhaps not such great enthusiasm for paying it. That is probably another hurdle that's going to have to be overcome. But on the other side of the equation, you have the USA, which is responsible for approximately half of all the stimulus that has been issued globally over the course of the last 3 months. On top of that, you have the willingness of the USA to run massive fiscal deficits, and that's been the case now for 3 years already, so it's not new news, whereas it is definitely new news in Europe. Then you have the simple fact that there is so much swamping of the global economy with liquidity that it represents a massive increase in the supply of dollars. And when we look at the various dollar indices, well, then what we're presented with is a significant breakdown for the greenback. And it's not just about the euro. The dollar index, which is admittedly heavily weighted by the euro, is certainly breaking on the downside. It is back below its trend mean for the second time in the space of 3 months. It has certainly failed to sustain the move above 100 on this occasion. When we look at the Asian dollar index, well, that is heavily weighted by the renminbi, and yet here also we see that the dollar is weakening and has pushed on to new recovery highs over the last two sessions and confirmed near-term support around 100. And then we have the Latin America dollar index, and that has also found at least near-term support. Now, this has been a much more prolonged downtrend. It's been going down for a decade, and it has still not been able to sustain a move above the trend mean. So it's going to have to do that in order to truly convince people that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. But when we think about commodity currencies, then we've seen a significant improvement in the outlook, for example, for the Canadian dollar, the Australian dollar, the Russian ruble. And I'm not at all sure that this total return index from Morningstar is giving us an accurate picture of the strength that we've seen, unless of course it is inversely correlated, when we then, and that is probably likely considering the decline that we've seen. But when we look, for example, at the Russian ruble, then it is also strengthening. It's strengthening more than the rebound we've seen in the oil price, and yet the oil price is rebounding too, and was also in positive territory in here today, and is at new recovery highs over the course of the last 4 days. Well, if interest in the US dollar is waning, then that is likely to put upward pressure on government bond yields. And the 30-year has firmed through the 1.5% level yesterday, improved upon that performance in here today. It is greatly increasing the potential that it is at least going to test the region of the trend mean and potentially at least the 2% level. And that would be a significant questioning of the downtrend that began in late 2018. We've also seen that this is a pretty concerted move right across the curve, and the 10-year has also pushed on to new recovery highs, and that in particular has been a very inert trading pattern over the course of the last 2 months. And these very inert trading ranges generally give way to significant breakouts relative to the previous period of ranging. So it is quite likely that we're going to see additional downward pressure on treasuries, and not least because of the weakness of the dollar. One of the biggest tailwinds for the dollar over the last few years has been the interest rate differential, but then it was also the quantitative tightening that the Federal Reserve was engaged in. Well, they're far from having a wide interest rate differential today, but the much more important fact is that the Federal Reserve in the course of less than a year has moved from contracting the supply to massively increasing the supply of the dollar, and that is bearish for both the dollar itself, but also for the government bonds. In some respects, stock markets are at least partially hedged against a currency devaluation. Part of the reason for that is that it bolsters the value of foreign earnings, and they will be repatriated to the US at a higher value. So that at least insulates some of the large cap companies from a devaluation. And then, of course, we have the primarily domestically focused companies that are not going to be heavily influenced by the weakness of the currency. However, when we think about the bond markets, there is the potential that higher costs of imports will be inflationary. There is also the very significant move we've had in hourly earnings, and that has also been a very significant factor. So we've seen it surge from approximately 3% to 7.9%, and that is by far the highest level we've seen in at least 13 years. Well, it's probably being flattered by the fact that so many people with lower wage jobs are now unemployed, which has left a lot of the higher paid people with the potential to make more and influence this index. And of course, there has also been danger pay added to a substantial proportion of the jobs out there, whether in warehouses or in supermarkets. So the big question is, how sticky is that going to be? On the one hand, we have the potential that it's going to be deflationary if some of those higher wages get taken out of the economy or people start losing jobs. But we have to at least pay some due consideration to the fact that we have a very significant popular protest movement underway in the USA right now. Now, it might at its root cause be sparked by police brutality or racism, but the wider question is about inequality and the desire to achieve a middle-class lifestyle. And it's very hard to achieve a middle-class lifestyle without getting more money. So there is the clear potential that this movement is going to evolve into a desire for higher wages. And that is also inflationary. So there is obviously a clear potential here that we're going to have some downward pressure on the bond markets in the near term because of the weakness of the dollar. And there is a clear correlation between the strength of the euro and the weakness of the government bond markets. Then let's think about what is likely in terms of stock markets. Well, the continued performance that we've seen in stock markets has been completely dependent on the continued supply of additional liquidity. Well, we've had another infusion today from the ECB, but the big question is what's going to happen next from the perspective of the USA. The Trump administration is talking about an additional $1 trillion in stimulus. Well, they haven't decided on it yet, and it may require the actual announcement of additional new stimulative measures to continue to support stock markets. One thing that I'm rather aware of is that when we look at the Nasdaq 100, we have had a number of key reversals. There was one at the end of April, there was another in the middle of May, we've had another in here today. Now, the key to the key is size, and these have not been especially large, although the most recent did follow through on the downside. But the sequence of higher reaction lows has remained intact. Now, as long as that sequence of higher reaction lows, and the most recent of those is at 91.75, well, that is going to remain a reasonably consistent breakout. Or I guess short-term uptrend would be the more correct term. We did see the index push on to a new all-time high in here today. It was not quite able to hold it, and we are within striking distance of the psychological 10,000 level. So this is a natural area where we might anticipate a pause in consolidation, and the extent to which the market can continue to hold onto the majority of the gains and sustain the sequence of higher reaction lows will inform on its ability to eventually be able to push on to new high ground, or are we going to get a deeper process of consolidation? There were an additional 2 million people lost their jobs in here today, or at least reported over the last couple of weeks. So we're up to about 42 million people who've lost their jobs. There are going to be some of those businesses that have been able to survive because of access to PPP funds that, when they run out, will eventually see that their businesses have not recovered. That pretty much ensures that the key to an economic recovery and justifying the prices that we see on stock markets today is going to be the ability to ease the lockdowns. And that is going to become an increasingly urgent phenomenon as the protest movement gathers pace. The one way to end the protests is to give more of those people jobs to go to. And that is going to certainly figure into the way that governments are thinking, and not least because of the massive amount of money that is being foregone in terms of tax revenue from the business sector, but then also the quantity of money that's going out the door in terms of trying to pay the crowd control measures. Police generally tend to make rather a lot of money when they're earning overtime, and just about the entire workforce of police in the USA today is on overtime. This is representing a rather extraordinary amount of money that is being paid for what is effectively completely needless work in the medium term. Well, that does suggest that we are at a point where there is some uncertainty that is beginning to creep in, but that is likely to be kept at bay as long as we continue to see additional liquidity. Well, gold prices were down yesterday and recouped about half of the decline in here today, up about $15, but importantly continuing to hold the $1,700 area, which I think is really rather impressive performance. Silver prices did not follow through on the downside and have continued to hold around the $18 area. Platinum prices were also in positive territory and holding the lower side of this range that's been evolving around the $900 area. So there is the potential that gold prices will continue to catch a bid because investors know that the ultimate potential here is for an inflationary outcome. But it could potentially be that we get inflation without central banks having the ability to raise interest rates, or that we get inflationary pressures with a low growth environment. So there is the clear potential that we could move into a stagflationary environment in the second half of this year. that is something that is obviously going to be at the forefront of policymakers' minds right now. The other thing that I'm particularly, I think, aware of right now is that the yield curve spread is starting to surge higher and is above the 50 basis point level. Now, if that continues to move higher, which would be representative of higher yields on the long end, well, it is usually when after an inversion that the yield curve starts to surge higher and then is surging through 50 basis points that we see the most trouble coming through in stock markets, because it represents the time when central banks panic and really start to engage in additional stimulative measures to try and arrest the significant economic contraction that's underway already. There has been a great deal of debate about how efficacious it is to look at the yield curve spread because of the low interest rate environment overall. However, it was inverted last year, and we are now in a recession. So it has often been a lead indicator of anything up to 6 to 18 months, and this was a little bit more than 6 months. So it has certainly been a lead indicator on this occasion. And now the potential is that we are moving into a more uncertain period in stock markets because we've had the reversionary rallies. We've seen that the best performers have been able to push on to new high ground. And now the question is, how much of it are they going to hold? How likely is it that we're going to have a deep correction rather than a shallow correction? One thing we've certainly seen is investors that are questioning the potential that there could even be a consolidation, that we might just simply see the market surge on to new high ground indefinitely. Well, in order for that to happen, we would have to see a continued swell of additional liquidity. Well, it's possible we might yet see that. But there has been a lot of good news priced in. There has been the clear assumption that the supply of liquidity is completely open-ended. But that is assuming that there's no inflation and that the USA will continue to attract money from all over the world. Well, the weakness of the dollar certainly questions that conclusion. It is certainly a time to be, I think, a little bit more vigilant. And I think with that, I'll leave for today and wish all the best to all of you.